Valerie, before we get started, I have to mention all of those Emmys behind you.
Yes.
10 of them. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what did you say to me when we first got on video?
Is this a little obnoxious? What's behind me?
Do you think a dude would ever say, hey, is this a little obnoxious behind me?
It's very funny because one of the producers I used to work with, I hope he's not listening to this, was once interviewed in the local paper, and they had a picture of him sitting on his floor with his Emmys in a semicircle around him, which was so, who sits on the floor with their Emmys around them?
But as you do.
And I made fun of him because, but you know, he owns it. And I think that's part of what I'm sure we're going to talk about today is our difficulty in owning our successes.
Yes.
And the inner stories we tell ourselves about why we struggle with that.
Yes. Can I even just tell you how exciting it is to interview a producer who knows how to set up the show? So thank you. This is the Grown-Ass Woman's Guide. I'm your host and guide, Jackie McDougall. Menopause is unavoidable, but suffering? Yeah, that's optional. Kindra is redefining menopause with science-backed products, education, and my favorite thing, community. Whether you're wondering if you're at the early stages of perimenopause or you have already been there, done that, Kindra is committed to helping us all be the best versions of ourselves.
When you have simple things that can help you take care of yourself, that make you a better you, because that's really what we're ultimately all after, why not take advantage of those?
Get 20% off site-wide at ourkindra.com with promo code GAW20. That's ourkindra.com, promo code GAW20. Welcome. You may notice a trend here of guests who have made it their life's work to empower other women. It is something I myself am so passionate about. In fact, I have two ways I want to share with you in supporting women. Number one, we are working so hard behind the scenes to create a directory of grown-ass woman-owned and led businesses. If you fit this description, I would love to feature you. There's more information in the show notes at grownasswoman.guide/episode143. And secondly, if you'd also like to support a grown-ass woman-led business, we've created a way you can support us. For as little as $5, you can support the Grown Ass Women's Guide as we seek to hire more grown-ass women in building out the movement of being exactly who we're capable of and lifting each other up in the process. You can find more information about that at grownasswoman.guide/episode143. Thank you so much in advance for your support. Today, you'll hear from Valerie Gordon, a 10-time Emmy Award-winning television producer, founder of Commander in She, and author of Fire Your Narrator, a storyteller's guide to getting out of your head and into your life. If you're thinking, I'm not a storyteller, and today's episode might not be for me, think again and keep listening. You work with women in telling their stories. Why do they need to even tell their stories? What's so important about women putting their stories out there?
Well, for me, it all started with my curiosity about seeing so many talented women at work. And I spent 20 years in the corporate world. So many years seeing really talented women not rise to where they thought they were going to go or where I believe they should go, and instead seeing them get passed over, or they would opt out or drop out or fall back. And in some ways, I was probably one of them too, but that piqued my curiosity about why is that happening? And of course, that's so multi-layered. I mean, there's so many reasons and challenges within the corporate world why that happens. But as I thought about my next career chapter, and I was reaching a point where after 20 years in media, I just wanted to do something else. I felt like I had this great job that I wasn't enjoying anymore. And I had to take stock of what I knew how to do, which was how to tell a great story, and combine that with my passion, which was how do I help women advance on their own terms and with their own skills.
While Valerie spent years producing television, she discovered the most important stories are those we tell ourselves and others in our everyday lives.
How we interview, how we network, how we negotiate for ourselves, how we show up at the meeting and speak up for ourselves. Those are the kind of stories that I'm talking about, as well as the story of what's the next chapter in your career. And so I believe that the story of who we are and the value we bring to our organization, that many women were either underselling themselves or weren't being heard. So that to me is what the power of a story is how can we use it as a strategic tool to show up as we are, who we are, and to use it to get the kind of success that we not only want, but truly deserve.
So what exactly is sharing our story and why is it so important?
To me, strategic storytelling as it relates to our careers or really to our life plans and satisfaction starts with understanding the skills you have, the experiences you've had, and the value that those things bring to your audience. So what do I mean by an audience? This could be the hiring manager. This could be your boss doing the performance evaluation. This could be the person at the networking event that you want to invest in your business. This could be the audience you're addressing when you're a speaker and you're standing in front of a room. What do you have to offer them in your story that is meaningful to them? Because stories are a terrific thing to share, but how often has someone just jumped in, started telling you a story, and you're like, what? Why are they telling me this?
Right.
And that's because the most important part of the story isn't the content of it or the emotion behind it or even why we're telling it. It's the audience's reaction to it.
So when it comes to telling our story, where do we even start?
I help women, first of all, identify the power in their story, because so many of us have never really taken the time to think about that. And then how do we communicate it effectively to that audience in a way that they see the value of your story?
Okay. And we talk about it like it's a singular story, but you may have different stories for different audiences, right?
We have dozens of stories daily. I mean, it's 1 p.m. and I've already had like 45 stories I could share with you today. Yes. And our stories are ongoing too. I mean, that's what I want women to most realize is you're not done. I don't care if you're 40, 50, 60, 90. Every day is an opportunity to add to that story. So some of the storytelling is not only about expressing where we've been, what we've done, but what we want to happen next. How do we create that? And how do we demonstrate the value in that opportunity that hasn't even happened yet?
While some of us can pull a story out of our ear for any given scenario, Valerie suggests identifying key examples for the appropriate situation.
When it comes to interviewing or networking, negotiating for a raise, I do think it helps to have sort of those signature stories in mind so that when someone says, so tell me your story, you're not like, why, where do I begin?
Right.
So that you have an idea of what you're being asked. And again, it comes back to that question, what is the value that you bring to other people? And the value comes from your skills and experience and also your passions and ideas and desires.
So now we know we should be telling our story to communicate effectively and even help us connect in a more meaningful way. But how do we tell our story in a way that's not just interesting to us? Because we know that boring somebody with our story is worse than not telling it at all.
The three main elements that you're looking for is the story has to be relatable. Why should the audience care about this? And sometimes it's just not the right audience for that particular story, but it has to be relatable. What's the reason that the audience would care about this? It has to be authentic. People can tell the difference when you're telling a story and it's been perfected and it's really polished and it sounds great, but there's something there where the audience, you get that feeling like, I feel like I'm being sold a bag of goods here.
Right.
So it has to be authentic. And I think some of that is what we shy away from. We're almost afraid to show the yucky parts of the story or the sad parts or the ugly parts because we feel like it has to be super polished. Mm. And then the third element is it should be generous. What are you giving as part of your story? What's the intention? Is it to inform, inspire, entertain? What is the purpose behind it? So before we jump into tell me your story and you just launch into something, think about how do I want the audience to respond? Mm. What do I want them to know, think, feel, and do as a result of this story? And why am I choosing to share this one?
Where I see women struggle the most in telling their story is comparing themselves to others. My story is similar to that other woman's story. Why should I tell it if she's already told it? We think our experiences have to be so different in order to have anything to say about it. But it's not actually about the content of your story. It's about you. What makes you and your perspective special and unique?
what's so special and unique are the nuances, right? The details, because many people might have a similar story. And when I think about the stories I put on TV for years, so many of them had that common theme of overcoming adversity.
We love that.
Those are the stories that we love. Someone who struggled and then succeeded in the end. But none of those stories are alike. And what makes them different are the details in their story. And I think so often we feel like the details aren't that interesting, but really it's the details that people remember. So when I first work with women, it's, and we talk a lot, there's certain things about their story that just light me up. I mean, I'll get goosebumps, you know, just hearing that.
Right.
So when someone is telling me their story, there'll be something in it that I'm like, that is great. Why are you not capitalizing on that detail of the story? And it's different for everyone, but details are the things that we remember about those stories.
But hold up. Before you start sharing every single tiny detail of your life, Valerie has one very important question for women to answer.
Why are they sharing this particular one with the audience? Because I will tell you, being a storyteller and speaking at conferences, I get a lot of people coming up to me after and they want to share a story, which is great. And I love hearing stories. I have a natural curiosity about them. But sometimes it's TMI. It's too much information too soon, right? So knowing that difference is challenging too. Are we in a professional environment? How much do we want to share of ourselves with that particular person at that time? I tend to be an open book, but I've sometimes shared too much too soon because of a sense of familiarity. So knowing the difference there is important as well.
Isn't that wild? We meet somebody and you're like, oh, this feels like we've known each other for a little bit. And then you just, bah.
You know? Exactly. And sometimes you're both doing the blah and it's great.
Yeah. And sometimes they back up slowly.
And the receiver is like backing out of the room.
Yeah.
I like to keep it real and I like to keep it light. And I think the best stories out there are not the big success stories. They are the ones of overcoming adversity and failure and struggle. I mean, how often have you heard from a leader at work or another business owner where everything's worked out perfectly for them and all the doors have opened up and they're at the pinnacle of success? Do we like this person? No, we don't relate to them. And I certainly don't like them. Show me something real.
Yeah.
Show me the struggle. Talk me through how you did it. Talk me through those pivotal moments and own your own story. You know, one of my favorite writers, Nora Ephron, once said that when you slip on a banana peel, people laugh at you. But when you tell people you slipped on a banana peel, it's your laugh. So you need to own all those banana peel moments. By the way, nearly every failure story that I have been told or when I train audiences, it's actually a success story because in the end, it's about lessons learned and what happened next.
Right.
So don't be afraid to embrace the realness of those stories too. I think those are the ones that the audience most relates to.
Right. Well, that brings up a good point. So if you are in the middle of the failure, somebody once referred to it as a wound versus a scar. You're feeling it. You're in it. Is that a good time to tell the story or should you wait until you got a little distance from it?
Well, it certainly makes me curious, like what's going to happen next? I think, again, it depends on what do I want the audience to know, think, feel, and do. If I want the audience to know that I'm just like them, I'm a struggling entrepreneur right now, or I'm not sure what's next, or some days I really don't feel like a grown-ass woman, or whatever it is, then I would have no trouble telling the wound story because you know at some point, you're going to get to the other side of that story. And the audience might even see it before you do. And so there's a relatability there.
Right.
If you're trying, though, to share with the audience how you did it, how you came out of this wound to the successful side, then you might want to hold off. But I do think that, you know, if we're going by the relatability, the authenticity, and the generosity, that being in the middle of the story is okay. We don't have to reach that tidy resolution, put a bow on it for it to work. If the goal is to relate to the audience and show something about yourself and maybe talk about knowing you're in the middle of the story and that you haven't yet reached the end, but here's what you're going to do to get there. I would find that very inspiring.
Yeah, I find that powerful because we do see a lot of rags to riches or overcoming adversity. And it's like, look where I am now and you could have my formula. But if you're in the middle of it, and you know that you're going to get to the other side of it, it actually invites other people to not hide. We see all the shellacked Instagram and all that, but imagine not having to hide that you're in the middle of it.
aren't we always in the middle of it?
Yes.
I mean, the story's never really done, so that it keeps going on and on. And sure, you reach a point where maybe you've wrapped a project or you've reached some sort of pinnacle of success. But if you're anything like me, I'm always looking at the next mountain, you know, what comes next.
So the next time you see that shiny, perfect social media post and start comparing yourself, think about what might be happening behind the scenes. Valerie just launched her new book, Fire Your Narrator, A Storyteller's Guide to Getting Out of Your Head and Into Your Life. Impressive? Absolutely. But she's the first to share what was really happening the day her book came out.
Launch day was not what I thought it was going to be. We were in the middle of a home renovation. We were redoing our floors. And so this day that should have been a big celebration, I had to, at the last minute, figure out a way to get my whole family out of the house because we were living in the basement and the fumes were so bad.
Oh man!
And my daughter had the PSATs the next day and we had to find a dog-friendly hotel. And it was like this crazy day. And the day is over, but I don't think the story is. Because to me, the story is about my own expectations of what I thought this day was going to be, the reality of what this day was. And that's the story I want to share. I don't know that there necessarily was a happy ending or even a lesson learned, but I would share that story just to be real about, no, it's not shellacked. It might have looked one way on Instagram, but you should have seen the crap that was going on in my basement. And so I think that people do appreciate that when you peel back the layers a little bit and you let people inside. In the absence of knowing the real story, people tend to make up their own.
Yeah.
And usually what we see in someone else's story is that perfection. Oh, she has it so easy. Oh, the grass is greener over there. When if we were all just to get real about it, we'd understand everybody's got a struggle in their story. And that's the interesting story to tell.
Right. I remember one time I put on Facebook that I had made the kids, it was a Monday morning, and I made them like, I can't remember the exact story, but it was something for breakfast that looked like, wow, this woman has it all together. She's amazing. There were eggs, maybe some, I don't even know, but it looked pretty impressive. In actuality, that was all that was in the house. That's all I had left. And so it's absolutely perception, right? We constantly think that everybody else has it together and we're the only one who doesn't.
And don't you find that you relate so much more and like the women so much better who admit that it's not all perfect and it's kind of a mess?
Totally.
Look, I made this really pretty thing over here, but look what the rest of the kitchen looks like. I want to see the rest of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I want to know the story and I like all the details of the story and they don't have to be perfect.
But right.
Show me the real story. Don't give me the corpse beak wrapped in a bow because that's lacking the authenticity and the relatability. And so what does that do for me as an audience member other than to make me feel kind of bad about myself for not measuring up?
We've talked about the stories we tell others, but Valerie's book focuses on the stories we tell ourselves. And unlike the stories we share out loud, we don't even stop to think about whether these stories are true or accurate. We just play them on repeat. Over and over. Valerie helps us tackle these inner stories along with her friend, Squash.
So Squash is what I have named my inner narrator. What is an inner narrator? It's this voice that sort of narrates our day, that provides this daily voiceover or monologues us throughout our day. Now, I will say every so often I meet someone who's like, I don't know what this is. I don't have this. And I can't imagine, right, that look on your face. I can't imagine how much space I would have in my head if I didn't have that voice. But I think most people know what this is. We think of it as our inner critic. And in my book, Fire Your Narrator, I talk about 10 common narrative types. And the critic is just one of them.
Mm.
I came up with 10 in speaking with dozens of clients and hundreds of audience members when they would talk about their inner beliefs or things they would say to themselves. I almost started categorizing them because many are critical, but then others had other components. So Squash is what I have named my inner narrator, aptly named because she shows up at just all the wrong times to totally squash my confidence.
Yes.
And she doesn't seem to serve much purpose other than to keep me in check. And so she's a critical narrator, but she also is a ruminator, meaning I'm someone who has a hard time letting go of past mistakes or things that I have no longer any control over. And she is also a striver, which is another one of the 10 narrative types, which is this inner story that I have that I'm not working hard enough and I need to do more. And that's like a story that I feel like it's always with me.
Yeah.
So that I can accomplish something, but I'm never fully satisfied because I always feel like there's squash reminding me there's more to do.
Mm.
So you might not have previously named your inner narrator, but I suggest that you and all your listeners, if you relate to what I'm saying about, oh yes, I have that voice, is that you name it.
Right.
Because naming it is one of the first steps to separating it from who you truly are. Basically, what this voice is, it's all of your past experiences, all of your past stories wrapped up into one. And the problem with that voice is because we tend to remember negative experiences far more than positive, and they stay with us longer, that voice tends to be overly negative, fearful, and always looking out for what could go wrong. Very few of us have just a naturally positive, yes, you know, you go girl voice in our head, but you can work to rewrite it that way. So Jackie, if Squash needed a play date, does she have a narrator in your head that she could hang out with?
Absolutely. In fact, I did an episode on this before, right? With Wendy Miller, who's also background is TV, and she named hers Roberta and I named mine Blanche. But here's the thing. It was only the critic that we were talking about. The fact that there are nine other voices never even occurred to me.
Right. And so let's think of them rather than separate voices. Let's think of them as tendencies.
Okay.
So you have this voice in your head that's born from past experiences, and you've always thought of it as your inner critic. And most likely, I'm sure it is somewhat critical because that is the most common type. But I came up with the 10 types, again, from hearing the things that people would say to themselves about themselves. And most people have a tendency towards one or more narrative types. So the book, Fire Your Narrator, allows you to explore the 10 narrative types that I've identified and map your own. So we give examples of what that narrator sounds like. So for example, the defeatist narrator tends to think that nothing will ever change. You know, why bother? There's no point. This is never going to work for me. And so if those are things that you hear in your head or you say to yourself on a regular basis, you would, in mapping your narrator, you would put down an O for often. Mm-hmm. That often sounds like you. An S for sometimes, meaning sometimes, yeah, that's a familiar voice, especially maybe when you're stressed or something's gone wrong. Or N for never, meaning that just doesn't sound like me. And through that, we can identify which of the 10 types we most identify with and which ones we might have secondary characteristics too.
This is so cool.
Squash for me is a critical, ruminating striver. Those are like my three main tendencies. Mm-hmm. But I think on any day I can have moments of any of them. And I think we all can too. And that's the one question I get asked a lot. Well, can I be all 10 types? And yes, you can. You probably have tendencies to some more than others. And it's only when we recognize it, and I give tips on how to quiet each of them. Some of the tips overlap, but some are more specific. So for example, there is a narrator that I call the arrogant narrator. Mm-hmm. I think if you ask most people, are you arrogant? They would say, no, I'm not arrogant. But I ask it this way. Is there one right way to load the dishwasher? And people now get what I mean. Or, you know, when you're at work, are you saying things like, why am I the only one who's prepared at this meeting? No one else does anything around here. Why am I the only person who takes these meetings seriously? Arrogance is a strong word. It just means that arrogant narrator has the sense of I'm right and you're wrong and you should do it my way. And so knowing you might have a little bit of that tendency in you at certain times, you can then follow the tips to sort of fact check and quiet that narrator if it's getting in the way of your success and satisfaction at work or throughout your day. So you might find that some narrators are unfamiliar to you and others are more likely. And I'm sure there's other types out there as well.
I feel like you focused on the arrogant narrator like you know something. Did my husband call you?
Well, I will tell you that we argue over who's doing the dishwasher, right?
Yeah.
I mentioned this at a conference not too long ago, and a guy came up to me after and said, but you know, there is a right way to load the dishwasher. You can Google it. And I said, yes, you can. But if you Google it, you might actually find more than one dishwasher expert, and they disagree as to how you should load your dishwasher. My big thing is bananas. I have the proper way to buy bananas.
Oh.
And my husband does it wrong.
Can you share that?
The proper way to buy bananas is like if you're going to get, let's say, 8 bananas, you get 4 that are yellow and ripe and ready to eat. And you get 4 that are green so that when you're done with those yellow ones, the others have now ripened. He'll go out and I don't know why he would do this. He buys 8 ripe bananas and guess what's like brown and nobody wants them a few days later because they're overripe. So clearly I'm right. See, this is where Squash jumps in with her little bit of arrogance about her banana buying technique.
See, I buy them all the same and you've just kind of blown my mind that maybe I'm going to change my ways. But I buy them all the same and they're just in that like green, you know, they're going to be yellow soon, but I like your way. Look at that. I'm learning. So how do you work with a partner if you both sort of have the arrogant narrator?
So that's where some of the tips in the book will help you just be more flexible. I would ask the question even more, what if you're an entrepreneur or a leader at work and you have an arrogant narrator and you believe that your way is the only right way? What is the consequence then? Mm. Because really some of this is, look, you can be who you are. You don't need to change your narrator. I would just say, what's the consequence of believing that thought?
Yeah.
What's the impact to you? And if it's holding you back from positive relationships or happiness or success, then that's when we need to dig into it. Not just the thought, but what's the story behind the thought? Because it all starts with the stories we have, the experiences we have.
Right.
And when we started talking today, we talked about these trophies behind me, which are from my TV career, which after redoing my office, I don't like how they look. To me, they're sort of very in your face. And you were like, I would carry them around with me. What's wrong with that? But I will tell you that one of the things that Squash says to me, and I mentioned the story in the book, is when I'm feeling good about myself, she tends to jump in there and she says things like, you're so full of yourself. Like, why are you so braggy? Mm. And I can actually trace that back to an experience I had in high school where I was really proud of an accomplishment I had, only to be sort of shunned by my group of girlfriends because I'd been interviewed for the paper and I was very proud. I was showing off this article in the paper and I expected everyone to be proud of me. And I guess in ninth grade, 10th grade, whenever that was, I broke some cardinal girlhood rule of thou shalt not speak kindly of thyself. And I ate lunch alone that day.
Wow.
One of the things to do to fact check your narrator is figure out, when did I first start believing this? Where did this story come from? And I can almost trace back to that moment of like, oh, be good, but not so good. You know, be good so that people notice you, but not so good that people don't like you. And so imagine carrying that story around in your head throughout a career where you want to succeed and you want to move up, but you're also worried about how that will be perceived. And that's how the narrator can take over the story. So by sharing stories like that, I help readers as well identify in their own lives when they first started believing that thought and let their narrator run with the story in that way.
We encourage women to be confident, but not too confident. Speak your mind, but don't be too loud. There's like a level of acceptability when we show up without making other people uncomfortable.
Exactly.
It's kind of a ridiculous balance.
And you'll never find that balance because you're never going to be right. And what I love about your message of like, it's okay. You don't have to be everyone's person. You know, I'm not everyone's cup of tea.
Not for everyone.
I'll be your shot of espresso if you need that. But the idea of being a grown-ass woman that you talk about so much is what I identify with. And by the way, I don't feel like a grown-ass woman a lot of the times for a number of reasons, but I know who I am now and I want to be who I am. I'm not going to apologize anymore for who I am. And to me, that's your message as well. Like, understand your strengths, value the experiences you've had and own that. And I would say though, you really have to own the stories that are in your own head. Really unpack them, take a look at them, because at what point are we going to be fully accepting of ourselves, of who we are, if we can't get that inner story on board?
Absolutely.
You can't create a great external success story if you're struggling with a faulty, unhelpful, or outdated inner one. And it might just be time at this stage of our lives to rewrite those stories and hold that inner narrator up for review. Who says it's true?
Right.
And what is the value of holding on to this thought that owning your accomplishments is braggy?
And I wonder if some of these narrators actually lead to other narrators, because you talk about the striving, right? Striving, constantly wanting to do more in order to be more. That's one of the things that I'm trying to bust through in my own life, is that you don't constantly have to be doing to be of value. And so maybe some of those other narrators led to that narrator.
I do think so. It probably all comes from that, like, I'm not good enough feeling, or that critic, you're not good enough, and therefore you keep striving.
It's abundantly clear that our inner narrator makes such a huge impact on our lives, but it's important to consider the ripple effect of that impact.
You know, you can't move into that next chapter. You can't turn the page. You can't move forward with any sort of positivity if you're holding yourself back to your kind of thinking. That constant narration, it creates your narrative point of view, the way you view the world. So that if you're someone who believes that things never work out for you, that defeatist narrator, then you will go through life only noticing the times when things don't work out. And you'll sort of negate all the times that they do. And so that narrator, that impact of our narrative point of view, is the most important story we tell ourselves.
I think the more we understand what our inner story is, it can actually help us be more relatable when we share our story with others.
100%. Understanding not just, again, the detail and the pivot points of those stories, being willing to share it, but understanding, accepting the emotion that's behind it. Because the emotion part, along with the details, that's what sticks. That's what people relate to. In fact, there's been scientific studies that show that just hearing a story doesn't have to be your story, but just hearing one creates 47% higher oxytocin in the brain. Oxytocin is the feel-good chemical. So when someone tells you a story, there's a connection, a relatability, just based on that chemical reaction, which I find fascinating.
That's amazing.
Yeah, when someone tells us a story, the brain processes it like it's a motor visual experience. So that if you were telling me a story, I could almost feel like I'm there. Mm-hmm. With you, even though it's not my story to tell. And that's how we remember them. It's also what transfers emotions. It's one reason why we get upset at sad movies or watching the news, because of the story and how we process it. So they are incredibly valuable connection tools. Mm. And I want women to use them accordingly.
Yes. I will link to the book. Get the book now. I just appreciate you. I appreciate your 10 Emmys behind you, whether you do or not.
See, you just see like Squash started working, you know?
Yeah, you totally. I think you were twitching there for a minute.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and to share stories, and also to remind all your listeners that their stories matter too. And not only are stories incredible, powerful connection tools and the inner stories are powerful, but to know, and I know that this is what you talk about, like your story's not done. I don't care how old you are, what age you are, you're just getting started.
Yes.
What is in your next chapter? I mean, that to me is where I get really excited. So for anyone who feels too old, too late, or any of those stories we tell ourselves, fact check that. You are the active author of this story of yours. What do you want to happen next? And I feel like that's a powerful message you're giving all of your listeners. And that's what I want them to take away. You got a blank page. What do you want to write on it? So make it happen.
Make it happen, indeed. Thank you so much, Valerie, for sharing your story today. Before we go, it would be huge if you would share this episode, and any episode really, of the Grown-Ass Woman's Guide that resonates with you. We often talk about how we can spend money to support grown-ass woman-owned businesses, but supporting them with a share, a comment, a rating or review, some words of encouragement, whatever you have the capacity for, it can go such a long way in helping that woman keep moving forward. You have a stronger voice than you even realize. What would it be like if we were all committed to using our voices and reach to lift each other up? And if I can support you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at hello@grownasswoman.guide. Until next time, you are a grown-ass woman. Act accordingly. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Kokanu? Kokanu is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GROWNASS at grownasswoman.guide/Kokanu. That's 15% off with promo code GROWNASS at grownasswoman.guide/Kokanu.